Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 81 from August the 14th of 1993. Yes, we are the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, and we're back. We're going to do this thing today. We're tired. This is round two.
Hurry up!
We've been at this for almost 2 hours now after we recorded the last episode. So if we sound a little tuckered out, We apologize, but we're gonna keep on rolling. And Harper, how you doing this morning, man? You hanging in there?
Jesus Christ, let's get this over with. Book it, bitch.
Book it. Tagline. That reminds me of the old days when we would do the current product. And I remember one time it was gonna be a possibility that I wasn't gonna be able to make the show, and you two were joking back and forth about doing it without me. And Doc would open the show, and he would open with, "Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Book in the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast." Harper, hit the tagline and take us home. Doc, how you doing this morning, man?
Blessed.
Hey, you seen those commercials on TV for Smoky Mountain Chicken at KFC?
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
That damn Muppet Reba McEntire's in there singing about Smoky Mountain Chicken.
But she's from Oklahoma, though, right?
I don't know. She's a hillbilly. They're hillbillies. It's hillbillies chicken. I just want to know if somebody there could eat it and tell me if it's really true to the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, because I can't think of a food that says Smoky Mountains, you know? What kind of food is the goddamn Smoky Mountains known for? Vienna sausages?
Wouldn't that be in Vienna?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Maybe it's like the potted meat chicken strips.
I did see something online recently about fried Spam.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
That's a
Southern
thing.
I was like, yeah. What?
So we are, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. We are in the same location this week, correct?
Yes, Whitley County Middle School. This was just for the record, I'm glad you said that. This was recorded July 19th of 1993.
So about a month before the show.
Almost, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't have demographics, and I know how people love the demographic segment. So I've decided to have a little shift on this here in a way that will hopefully give the Marks and Saps a little insight into us and why we feel the way we do. So today,
y'all see how he likes to make fun of y'all? I never do that shit, but he'll call you Marks and Saps.
We're going to go to where Harper lives. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of the city unless Harper says it, because I don't want you guys going down there and trying to stalk him.
Hold on. That's not... No, you're going to have to give the city, because that's how we do it fairly. I mean, Harper, no, we've talked about where Harper's from before, right, Harper?
Metairie.
Okay, yeah. So he said it, now we can say it. So Harper lives in Metairie, Louisiana. There's a population of 143,475. It's a
Keep
lot of people.
Keep in mind, Metairie is adjacent to New Orleans, and a lot of times the population in Metairie is lumped in with the population of the greater New Orleans area, metropolitan
right.
area. Just
right.
for people. So
I mean, Metairie is fucking big.
It's a shithole. It's a white shithole.
Yeah, right.
Well,
it is a white shithole.
Best place ever.
It's the best place ever. Go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
Well, so I want to compare where Harper lives to some of the places that we hear every week because we don't have a place. And then, you know, next week we'll be in a new location. We'll probably do the demographics there. The next time we need some more demographics, we'll do where the real shithole, which is where Mike lives. And we can also do where I live in the future. So anyway, we're in Metairie, Louisiana. We're a suburb of New Orleans. And we are 75.1% white.
And yes. They all racist as a motherfucker, too.
Wow.
You just called Harper a racist.
Yeah.
And his mom.
Really.
And his mom, who could probably hear that upstairs because he's down in the basement.
Harper's mom won't let him date black girls. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's nice.
And while this doesn't sound like a lot, we can talk about this. There's 10 10.37% African American.
And they're all off the airline highway.
Centralized location.
Yeah. So
that means there's about 14,500 black people running around. So that's more black people than, like, seven times more than some of these towns have in general.
That's crazy,
so,
huh?
So I'm trying to give you guys some perspective. And you go, why are you making fun of the Smoky Mountains? Because your shit's not like where we live. That's why.
Okay. Damn, Doc.
Well.
Are you done?
Well, there's 12% Hispanic and Latino, too. So that's how you start to true
documented.
Up to 100%.
Is that
documented,
a,
right?
Damn, is that a 2018 stat?
Nah, I don't know.
Well, I asked that because, and I'm not trying to be funny, and Harper's going to know what I'm talking about. When Hurricane Katrina hit, the Hispanic population exploded.
Right, because there's construction jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let me tell you something. Right after Hurricane Katrina, I was driving with a friend of mine, and we were driving past one of the housing projects in New Orleans. Not in Metairie, but in New Orleans. And
yeah, because we don't have those, because we're not trash.
So... And some of the housing projects in New Orleans, I mean, they are what they were. I mean, they're fucking badass areas anyway. And many of these places, obviously, you're never going to see many white people there, if any. And you'll oftentimes see the basketball courts filled with African-American people playing basketball. Bro, we drive past this housing project. There had to be 40 fucking Hispanic, Latino, Mexican people playing basketball. And we, like, stopped in the middle of the road and were like, where are we at? Because it shocked us so much because we were so used to it. It's just like one of those things you just didn't expect. So that's why I asked the question. I'm trying to give perspective to, is that a 2018 stat on the Latino population or not? But anyway, we're here to talk Smoky Mountain. But go ahead, Doc.
The median household income in Metairie is $41,265. So we get into some of these towns where it's like $21,000 or $20,000. This is like double that. Now, $41,000 is still a meager pittance of a salary, but still, yeah. What it results in is only 8.9% of the population is below the poverty line.
That's still a lot of white people on food stamps in Metairie.
Why you got to talk about white people?
Yeah, we don't have those. Metairie's great.
Okay.
If there's 10.37% African American and 8.9% of the poverty line, you got to assume that all the 8.9 is just African Americans, and then there's like another percent and a half that of African Americans hovering near the poverty line. Right?
That's so racist. So yeah, let's classify all.
Well,
of them.
How's that different than you go? How's that different than you saying that's a bunch of white people on food stamps?
It is. There's a lot of white people in Metairie on food stamps, and Harper knows I ain't lying.
Right? Who?
Every time he goes to Walmart, he sees white people using food stamps. Pulling out that I almost called it a Lone Star card because that's what it's called in Texas.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Louisiana Purchase card. Shit. Yeah.
I've been to that Walmart in Metairie on the highway there.
There's a few. I have no clue which one you're talking about.
Veterans? Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, right. That one.
Keep going, Doc.
Well, that's really it. So Metairie, what I'm trying to explain to the people of Smoky Mountain is Harper lives in a big city next to a big city. It's a little bit more diverse, maybe not as diverse as Mike would like it, where we're just all mutts, but...
Wow.
But we're diverse, and the people have a little bit more money in their pocket, right, jangling around. So
I'm gonna reference that line when you ask me to protect you when the Civil War breaks out in this country. You know,
I don't want to hang out with the mutts. I want to hang out with the purebred brothers that are ready to
really?
Throw
That's
down.
That's why you said yes. You're going to come to my house looking for protection, right?
Well, I would hang out with your wife.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you just now he wants to be protected. He's like, I'm a cool whitey. You stupid son of a bitch. Okay, let's keep going.
So anyway, I thought that would give us something to do, to you know, help us all be one set of people here, right?
I like that you did that because then I like the fact that in 2 weeks you're going to do New Orleans. That way we can call my place a shithole and these people won't get offended.
You don't live in New Orleans, pal. We're doing where you live.
I've spent 30 plus years there, so I'm...
We can do New Orleans at some point, but we're going to do where you live next, pal.
No, you can't do that.
Why? Yeah.
No. I'll tell you to later. No.
Okay.
No. We do New Orleans, and we can do Dallas in general.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Dallas is good. It's a big city.
And it's a shithole. Don't let these big buildings fool you. There's some shithole places. Anyway, okay, let's get into this. We're, again, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 81, August 14th, 93. Williamsburg, Kentucky, Whitley County Middle School. I want to play the opening real quick because Bob Cottle's drunk.
What?
So here, to me, I'm being funny. He's not really drunk, but here it is.
Oh, we got a great lineup of Smoky Mountain stars. We're going to see the big Bruise Brothers in action, for instance. We're going to go back and take a look at the primetime Brian Lee, the Tim Horner, and the Tracy Smothers run-in of last week. Plus, we'll see once again the car brawl with primetime Brian Lee and Tracy, and what an event that was. Brian Armstrong, Bullet's youngest brother, is going to make his debut right here today.
Youngest son.
Did I say brother?
Yes.
Okay.
Youngest son.
All right, his youngest son.
Absolutely.
That's right. Billy Bob Armstrong's youngest son is going to make his professional debut right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. What about Down and Dirty?
Well, I'm going to have a man on Down and Dirty with Dutch who is an endangered species in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Jimmy Cornette will join me today on Down and Dirty with Dutch, and he has some very pointed comments. I want you people to pay close attention to this one.
I thought you might have been talking about the Spotted Owl or something like that, Dutch.
Absolutely not.
Let's see. What about our Beat the Champ match?
All right, I'd stop it there. So the reason I said he was drunk is, Doc, is this the point that you remember when you made your first pass through Smoky Mountain that you really started to notice Bob Cottle messing stuff up, or did it kind of happen before this?
I've never noticed it until today.
Yeah, right. You're so full of bullshit, lying fucker. Anyway, so he calls him Bullet Bob's younger brother, and Dutch corrects him, and then he starts talking about a spotted owl. I thought that was just really random, but I don't know. Anything else you had from that, Harper, in the opening?
No.
Me neither.
So, is he what you're saying is Bob starts slipping?
I think he does, and Doc's just trying to be nice right now because Doc was the one that actually brought it to my attention early on, like at one point in Smoky Mountain. I was like, and then I started noticing it as I watch it. Now, as you watch it, you'll start really noticing he can't even call the moves at one point. Like Jericho, when Jericho comes in, I think Bob Cottle's like lost on trying to call his matches.
He's never seen some of that stuff.
Yeah.
but I think he gets kind of like, I'm joking. I know Bob Cottle's not drunk here, but he just starts kind of messing up a lot. And
how do you know he's not drunk?
I don't know. Well, but Dutch has accused him of being drunk a few times, talking about his bottle of hooch under the table. So who knows? Okay, let's keep going. We'll go to the first match. So the first match is Larry Santo and Chris Comet versus the Bruise Brothers. We'll make this quick. Comet and Santo get destroyed. Bruise Brothers are DQ'd. Cornette uses his racket again. The referee is just a little lenient.
Why did it take him so long to ring the fucking bell?
They do that every time, Harper. Think about it. Every single time they come out there, how many times has Cornette and the Bruise Brothers come out there, whacked these guys, not just those two, but whoever they're wrestling with rackets and killed them, hit them with chairs, and then the ref, 5 minutes later, goes, okay, we're throwing this out. Like, why didn't you throw it out in the first minute? We've talked about that. It's just, it's weird that it takes them so long to throw it out.
I guess they want them to get that shit in.
Yeah, that's all it was. Just trying to get the shit in. Doc, your thoughts?
Man, I like how they don't even pretend to even set up a normal tag match. It's just straight to bullshit.
It's very much similar to almost the Road Warriors in 85, 86. Crockett.
I told you that weeks ago. They're a hillbilly Road Warriors.
But nothing beats that Road Warriors music when it hits.
Who sings it?
Black Sabbath?
Ooh, look at you. Who was the singer? Who was the singer in Black Sabbath?
I don't fucking know, dude.
God damn.
Come
Black
on, bro.
Black people.
It rhymes with Ozzy.
That's nice. Osborne?
There you go.
Okay.
Hey. They know it's a guy from Dio.
You're losing me now. As we move along, we get a replay of the Rock and Roll Express and Bruise Brothers last week. Remember, the Rock and Roll defeated the Bruise Brothers in less than a minute, although it wasn't technically a match. And then, I actually wasn't going to play this. The Rock and Roll Express cut a short promo. There's not much here. It's just, anything you had from it, Doc, with that promo?
It was okay.
Yeah, it's nothing, to be honest with you.
Right.
Same with you, Harper?
Yeah.
Okay, so after that, then, we go to a replay of Horner versus Primetime Brian Lee from last week. Now, recall that Horner had Primetime Brian Lee pinned in the bridge, and then all kinds of shenanigans went down. Smothers came out. Tammy sprayed Tracy. Long story short, Horner wins by DQ. And I wanted to point something out in regards to this. I think part of the reason why we're seeing a bunch of recaps here and shit like that is because this is August 14th, and this was recorded July 19th, and we are... The exact same day of this is Fire on the Mountain, 93. So we're kind of, they're filling in some things, basically.
I feel like this is when you put a bunch of water in a sponge and you try to squeeze out all the water and you're pretty sure you got it dry. And then you go back and squeeze it one more time to get one more drop out.
That's a great analogy. So after the replay of Horner versus Primetime Brian Lee, we've got a promo. And I'm going to play this because I want to talk about something that Primetime Brian Lee says. Here it is.
Out of the ring.
All right, fans, Miss Tammy Fitch right here with us. And, of course, you see that championship belt that
and
she's holding.
Brian
and
Lee.
It belongs to this man right here, Primetime Brian Lee. Oh, to us, he said. What about that one, Tammy?
It belongs to us.
To us.
You know, I'm beginning to understand Tracy Smothers, how he can't resist me and he's so in love with me. I mean, I can't blame him with the women in Kentucky that look like they do. They're fat. They're ugly. They wear those skimpy little outfits with, like, the fat hanging out here and the fat hanging out there. They look like a salad with all the cottage cheese hanging all over the place. I mean, it makes me nauseous. It really does. So I really can't blame Tracy for being in love with me and constantly coming after me and wanting to be with me because the way the women that hang around him look, I mean, what choice does he have?
Well, it's going to be a coal miner's glove match. You got a chance to put Tracy's Mothers away for good with that.
Coal miner's glove match? You know, Bob Cottle, let's get to the real point. We've been beating around the bush here the whole time. You know, Tracy's Mothers, yes, you want to look like Primetime Brian Lee. Yes, you want Primetime Brian Lee's belt, but the bottom line is, you want this woman. You see this? From head to toe, she looks better than anything up in the hills. You've never had nothing like a boy, and you never will. And you never stand 6'8", 280 pounds. You see what I'm saying? I got it all going on from head to toe. I'm standing tall, doing it all. And with Tammy Fitch in my corner, we can't go wrong. Now, you want a coal miner's glove match? That's fine with me, boy. It doesn't matter if it's a coal miner's glove match. You know about coal mines because that's where I'm going to send you. You're going to be right back down in the dirt digging coal because I'm going to put you there when I hit you in the jaw. You know, who knows, Bob? Next, we might have a gas pumping match because he might be pumping gas. We might have a quick sack working behind the register match. Who cares what we're going to have? Tracy Smothers, you're done. Tammy Fitch, First Lady Professional Wrestling, Primetime Brian Lee, we're coming in champions and we're going out champions.
Wrestling fan.
I really like that, but I want to throw it to Harper first. Harper, you were popping on the same shit I was when I first heard this. What did you think, Harper?
Right. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to say? He says, yeah, the fat hogs. And he does this thing like with his hands, like he's like a big fat guy, like, oh, yeah, fat hogs. That shit was hilarious.
And then she starts talking about they look like a big salad with all their cottage cheese.
Oh, God. That's fucking disgusting.
Jesus. Dude, do you think she got nuclear heat from them bitches in fucking Smoky Mountain?
God. Wait until she introduces her Tammy's tips.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh, okay. Doc, anything else, Harper?
Nah.
I really enjoyed this, but Doc, what'd you have?
Well, last week Harper said how much Candido and Tammy have grown in a short time. I thought here, just my note was Tammy's getting more and more comfortable by the week. And you can just see her. Like, I thought Candido was, you know, I liked him from the jump. But she was really nervous and rough at the beginning. And she's getting more and more confident, more and more comfortable. And you can see the natural charisma that they both have. And it's starting to really, you know, you can see now what Corny saw in her when she was still green and nervous and whatnot. She's starting to show it.
I bet you Corny looked at her and was like, if you can get halfway there with a decent promo, these people here are going to hate you so much, and you're going to be perfect for what we want.
I bet Corny went and had dinner with Candido and Tammy, because it was only supposed to be Candido. He saw Tammy.
Well, that is what happened.
And he had the cartoon thing where his eyeballs turned to dollar signs, and he was like, bruh.
Well, he said that, though. He's on record to say that.
Right, okay.
That he went out to eat with him, and then it was like, oh, well, we can do a package deal here, and then it just took off. And
what about the broad?
Yeah, let's bring her in. We've talked about this before with Primetime Brian Lee since he became a heel. He's so much better at promoing as being a heel.
He did, man. Yeah. I wanted him to. He was jip jiving there, pal.
Well, was he? Oh shit, he sure was. Hey, you know the funny part? Neither one of you said something about this, and I'm so glad. He threw out that 6'8", 280 line, and it works so much better as a heel than it does as a babyface.
I was gonna say he's 6'6" when he's a babyface, and he's 6'8" when he's a heel.
Yeah, I just this was good. This was good. I really enjoyed this. Good stuff here. All right, so we go now. There's a local promo. I'm not going to play it, but I can tell you again, Scott Armstrong is looking stylish. He's got an airbrush shirt on, mullet in rubber bands, glasses. It's glorious. I can't even.
Okay, I got a question here. Does Scott have gray hair?
I think so.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Bro, that rat ponytail thing was a disaster. I'm just going to say it.
It was like a squirrel's nest.
I know he may listen. We have some intel to think that he might. And I'm not going to – I like Scott Armstrong just fine. But I think if he's going to be honest here and looks at himself in the mirror, he go, oof. That might not have been me putting my best foot forward. We've all been there. Look, Menace used to have some of those little tassels in his hair, like, you know, those little bitty cornrow things, right? Like he was a damn juggalo and shit.
Did you?
Yeah, it was time.
Jesus Christ.
You're the only black guy. You're the only black guy I know that's white trash.
Nah, it wasn't corn rolls. Harper, it wasn't corn rolls. It was I had plaits. I had braids. I had short ones.
Well, then I guess that's okay then, right?
Like Chris Cross had, right?
Yeah, right. Kind of like that. Right. Yeah, kind of like that. Dude, I used to hate too because like when you took a chair shot on the head,
drive those
back
little
then,
plastic things into your skull.
Jesus Christ, a chair shot was double worse because of that bullshit I had on my head.
Oh God, bro.
Because those fucking beads was jamming to your head, bro. I don't know how my skull didn't rip open from some of the chair shots I took. Back when, don't put your hands up, brother. You're a pussy if you do that. Fucking dumb shit I did. Okay, so,
you were infinitely more stupid for wearing those cornrows than you were for taking an unprotected chair shot.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Keeping it moving now, we go to, and again, I want to say, Scott, if you're listening to this, we love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing in Smoky Mountain in 1993. We very much enjoy it. Dirty White Boy versus Joe Kazana. Uneventful match. Dirty White Boy wins, but I'm guessing Ron Wright didn't make this, just left or something after the first couple tapings, because I think he was there, and now he's gone, because once again, Ron isn't here. At the end of the match, Dirty White Boy is about to cut Joe Kazana's hair, when Bobby Blaze hits the ring, and Bobby ends up taking a bump from Dirty White Boy. Dirty White Boy then cuts a few locks of Bobby Blaze's precious hair before Bobby is saved by Horner and Gibson. Doc, any thoughts on what we saw here?
I got confused at the beginning because Kazana jumped Dirty White Boy. So, like, who's the heel?
Yeah. Well, Kazana was a was kind of a heel, though, as an enhancement. So I guess you just had heel versus heel.
Interesting note here. Dirty, what's it? The Buck Snort Blaster is DWB's finisher.
Yeah.
So right before that, he hit a DDT, and that didn't finish it. We always talk about back in the day, a DDT was the end of shit. Well, it wasn't here.
Good point.
Think Bobby got any extra money for sacrificing a lock of hair, or was that just to further the angle?
I bet it was just to further the angle. Bobby, listening, did you get any extra money for getting a couple of those country hillbilly fucking locks clipped? Let us know.
And Bobby's going to get – he's going to be bald, dude. I can feel it.
Well, we'll see.
Bald Bobby Blaze.
Hopper, thoughts from you on it?
I didn't think he was going to cut his hair because I figured they're going to do it. They're going to run in and save
somebody.
Him.
Save this man.
Right. But nah, he fucking got it in. He fucking cut his hair.
He got a little bit. Not a lot. He got a little. He got enough so that when you saw it, you were like,
oh fuck.
Oh shit. He actually cut uh-huh. a few locks of his hair. Fuck.
Yeah. Now, where'd he get the scissors from? I forgot.
I don't know. It's
like, he got them from bitches pistol, out of he somewhere. Got from Pistol Pez Watley's pocket.
When Pez when Boogie told Pez he was the best black athlete, and Pez told Boogie, "Honky, don't you say that about me, you honky? I'm a whoopa hillbilly boy."
We call those blathletes.
Blackletes. Wow.
I gotta honestly say, that angle to me at this point, it was underrated to me as a kid. It's much better now than it was back then.
Just seeing
Pez spit on them and say he was going to whoop a hillbilly and all that good stuff, and he going to put some black on them. That shit, you go back and listen to that, man. That shit was good.
We'll I would imagine that got your little black weenie hard.
What?
Fuck you. So next up is Fire on the Mountain 93, another plug. Now remember, today, the day of this airing is the same day that Fire on the Mountain is taking place. So we got one more plug, get them in the building. And then we go from there to Down and Dirty. Now, before I play this, I'm going to tell you all how I broke it down in the notes. So there's a first part, and it's Big Boss Man. They throw it to Boss Man first, and Boss Man's got a little bit more to say, and he kind of gives some background on the relationship with him and Cornette. And then they throw it to a long-ass promo with Cornette and fucking Dutch, where Corny talks for like 10 minutes. He doesn't talk for 10 minutes, but it's close to. So let me play the Boss Man part first, and then we'll talk about the Cornette part in a second. So here's Boss Man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. This is a specially taped edition of Down and Dirty with Dutch, and my guest, who will be with me momentarily, he's not here right now, is Jim Cornette. And we're going to be talking about some things that are on the mind of Jim Cornette and is a man, I think, on the verge of insanity. But before we talk to Jim Cornette, let's go right now and get some comments from the Big Boss Man who is headed our way.
Big happenings in Smoky Mountain Wrestling this week. Law, order, and justice is coming to town for one thing and one thing only. And that's you, Kevin Sullivan. I'm going to make sure, punk, that you serve nothing but hard time. We got us another happening, too. The Rage in the Cage. 10 men go in, 5 men come out. I wonder who it'll be, but the plain and simple fact is, I'm there for one thing and one thing only, and that's to make sure that law, order, and justice is served, that fair and square is handled, because I'm the keeper of the key, and there ain't nobody but nobody interfering. In Knoxville, Tennessee, this Friday night, Bob Armstrong, Jim Cornette, we're having us what you call an old-fashioned lumberjack match. May the best man win. Jim Cornette, I don't want you to think that our past dealings will have any outcome on the match. Because the plain simple fact is, I've seen the light. And after Bob Armstrong gets through with you, punk, you'll see nothing but light. You got it, Jim Cornette? Bob Armstrong, dig it.
Okay, so I think Boss Man cleared it up there where... You know, because of the previous relationship with Corny back when he was Big Bubba in NWA. Hopper, what did you have from that right there?
He saw the light, so fucking Cornette's fucked.
So what he says, I guess we'll have to see. And it it's a good part of the storyline. We'll have to see how it plays out because he's claiming. And you got to remember, Boss Man was a heel, so he's claiming this. Is he telling the truth? Is he setting Bullet Bob up for for some trouble? We got to wait and see. I think that's a good storyline that plays out in this. Doc, your thoughts?
I wish we had Sullivan cutting promos on the other side.
Yeah, really, huh? Where's he been?
Japan.
He's in Japan.
Cutting motherfuckers up.
Cut, yeah. He's over there still slicing motherfuckers.
I'm sitting here thinking for sure he's going to turn on Armstrong. That's just the way I'm looking at this.
The big boss man?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to like, he was a heel. He was Corny's muscle for a while. He goes to WWF. He's a heel. He feuds with Hogan. I mean, yeah, you got to be thinking to yourself, he's going to turn. We'll have to see. No spoilers here. No spoilers. Any other thoughts, Doc?
Mm-mm.
Nah.
Okay. So after that, we get Corny cut like a 7-minute long promo on Rage in the Cage and everything that's about to go down. Did y'all want me to play this whole thing?
7 minutes? Fuck.
It's 6 minutes and 20 seconds. It's a long one. Let me say this. I thought Cornette did a good job of summarizing how we got here, like to Rage in the Cage. Basically, he tells the story of the history of him and Bullet Bob. This build up from the last, I guess, 4 or 5 months, wouldn't you say, Doc?
Yeah.
And the one thing he does is he starts going over the rules again of Rage in the Cage.
God, I was like, I cannot believe we are doing this again. I still don't understand this son of a bitch.
Which, let me say this, the Rage in the Cage rule, if there's one thing Smoky Mountain has done in 18 months that I just hasn't been my favorite thing, it's the Rage in the Cage match. It's the one thing that I look back and go, why couldn't we just put him in a cage without all the damn rules? Because the rules just, they convoluted things and it just fucked me. It just was too much. It was way too much to remember, the whole status matches. And that's the part that kind of just threw me for a loop. So I'm going to play this at the end. Does that sound good to y'all too?
Well, my other thing is I'm concerned. Remember in the last one where like Taz and Sullivan were like swinging on that shit? It was like barely holding together. What happens if the Bruise Brothers start doing that? There's no way that the thing can handle that.
I forgot about Taz.
Remember how, do you remember, Harper said that the last Rage in the Cage, remember how they would go flying into it?
Yeah.
And that shit would fly like 5 feet out? Harper, didn't you say something like, bruh, I can't wait for that thing to just, the whole panel to go flying.
Yeah, they're going, yep, fuck, man. It's the same cage?
Yeah. Same one? So, all right. I'm gonna clip the promo and I'll play it for y'all at the end. It's a good promo because Corny does a great job. He basically summarizes everything we've done and everything that's happened to get to this point where him and the Rage in the Cage is gonna happen, and then the whole thing with Bullet Bob with the tennis racket match. So, all right, we'll keep going here.
I just like that Corny is just selling he's gonna die unless he figures something out.
Well,
it is when he's.
Go ahead.
He's a desperate man.
It's when he points out that, hey, you know, I'm not an athlete. The only sports I played was tennis, and you're this fucking Marine. He's going to tear me limb from limb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great, because there's fucking truth to that.
Right.
Do y'all want me to play the part of it before he starts going through the fucking rules?
Yeah,
because that's where it gets like it's just like, oh shit. All right, here let me play it, and then here we go. I should have broke it down a little bit better, but here it is.
Some very interesting comments from the big boss man here with me right now. As I promised, Jim Cornette. Now, Jim,
You've heard what the boss man had to say, and you know what Bob Armstrong has in store for you. And frankly, right now, I'm going to have to say this. I'm glad I'm not you. You have to be a very troubled man at this point.
I got hair standing up on the back of my neck, man. I got chills and shivers going down my spine. I got goosebumps coming up all over my arms. I can't sleep at night. I'm breaking out in sweat. And the whole problem is Bob Armstrong. Bob Armstrong, every top name in this business for the past 10 years has tried to back me in a corner. From Cowboy Bill Watts to the Road Warriors to the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Jerry the King Lawler, nobody's been able to do it. And then Bullet Bob Armstrong, you come along and you think you're great commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and every time that I've got the heavenly bodies just ready to dominate the place, you got to stick your nose in. You got to make the ruling. You got to be the referee. You got to do something to con Jim Cornette out of what he wants. So finally, I've had enough. I get fed up with you. And I get you in that rage in the cage where you're the referee. And my boys, they get you and they string you out and they strap you up and they crucify you, Bob Armstrong, just like the person you think you are. And I beat you half to stinking death. And I enjoyed every single minute of it because I've hated your guts for a long time. So what do? You don't, like the 184-year-old goof that you are, you don't go back home and you don't retire, no. You go back in the gym and you work out and you get back in shape and you get your boys some kind of clan. And they all come up here and they start waging war on me and the Heavenly Bodies and the Bruise Brothers. And now you've gone and you've used your pull with the board of directors. You've got a rage in a cage match. Fire on a Mountain in Johnson City. You better believe the boys are going to be running, because it's going to be a rage in a cage match. It's very simple. 5 men on each team. The Bruise Brothers, the Heavenly Bodies, and Jim Cornette against the Rock and Roll Express, Scott, Steve, and Bullet Bob Armstrong. 1 man from each team starts for 5 minutes.
See, this
they
is
fight.
Where it's just...
And then at the end of that 5 minutes, the bell rings, and another man from the team that has the advantage gets in that ring.
And I got it. I don't know if y'all can still hear it a little.
After 2 more minutes, somebody else comes in. It's two.
But he goes off on these rules for like 3 minutes straight.
Well, then turn it off.
Anything goes in that cage. Hold on. And there's only 2 ways
to... Then don't turn it off. Knoxville on
August 20th. Hold on.
August 20th.
For you. I'll get to it in a minute. Because there's something else I want to talk about. You get me alone in Knoxville at the K-Town Showdown. It wasn't bad enough putting me in a cage like some kind of criminal, like some kind of felon. But then you work it out so you get a lumberjack match. Armstrong's Army and Cornette's Criminals all around the ring in Knoxville on August 20th. Each one of them carrying tennis rackets. Anything goes in a match. The big boss man, the special referee in that one as well. And then he goes even further. He puts literally thousands and thousands of dollars on the line. He says, if I don't send Jim Cornette to Baptist Hospital in that ambulance, just like he did to me at the Volunteer Slam, then he's going to refund the money of everybody that buys a ticket to the K-Town Showdown in Knoxville.
Remember what he just said.
So you asked me, Jim Cornette, do you think you're going to the hospital? Well, I dadgum sure believe if Bullet Bob Armstrong's got anything to do with it, I will be. Because I know there's a lot of money riding on it. And I know that pride of yours too, Bullet Bob. You think you're John Wayne. So you're going to try to send me to the hospital, maybe break my neck, maybe drop me on my head. I don't know what you think you're going to do, but I guarantee you one thing. All the people coming to that K-Town Showdown, you ain't going to get a stinking penny back. But it's you, the people of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, all the fans out there that watch it. It's you that have made this guy a monster. It's you, your adoration, making him a hero. Yeah. That's what's given Bob Armstrong this big head and thinks he's got to ride in like some kind of white knight in shining armor. He's got to do something to get revenge, not only for himself and his family, but for all his fans. Well, don't you people have any stinking pity, huh? Don't you have any compassion? The only thing I've ever done in my life athletically was play tennis. Bob Armstrong's been a Marine. He's been a fireman. He's been a wrestler for 25 years. If he gets me in there with no way for me to escape, he's going to tear me limb from limb. What do you think when I have to go home and I have to tell my dogs, Muffy and Snuffy, that maybe after August 20th, your daddy ain't coming back home? What then do you think? What do you think I'm thinking? What do you think's going through my mind right now when I got to get in a cage and I got to get in a lumberjack match with a homicidal maniac? I want all you people to listen to my words. I want you to write. I want you to call. I want you to fax. I don't care what you have to do. You get together a petition. But some way or another, you got to stop this before it's too late. And Bob Armstrong, the one thing that sticks in the back of my mind that makes me think maybe, just maybe, I got a chance, because I know I'm smarter than you are. Big boss man. You see, he's not always been the man that keeps law and order.
You see, I used to know the big boss man when he thought about things just a little bit differently. And if I can get to him, if I can talk to him, if I can spend just 10 minutes with the big boss man, then maybe that rage in a cage and maybe that lumberjack match at the K-Town Showdown is going to turn out just a little bit differently. Because Bob Armstrong, I know you can kill me, but I just ain't convinced you're going to.
There you heard it, fans. Very controversial words from a very controversial man. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
So he said a lot there, and we ended up playing actually most of it. Doc, any other thoughts before we move on there?
He's all over the map, which is great because it's like he's desperate. He's insane. He's going insane. He thinks he's going to the hospital. He's trying to figure out how not to go to the hospital. It's Bob Armstrong's fault. It's the fans' fault. He's crying. He's mad. He's telling his puppy dogs. There's all kinds of stuff going on here. And it's just into the psyche that says Bob Armstrong has gotten in his head.
Remember what he says about not only does Bob Armstrong have to beat him, but the other part is Bob Armstrong says he's going to send him in the same ambulance ride to the same hospital. And that's why I said remember that. Just remember that, because that's part of it.
And the psychology is, yes, I'm afraid he is going to send me to the hospital. Oh, let's go down there and watch that happen, and then we get our money back.
Yeah, Corny, yeah. You think about that. Corny's saying he just might do that. I mean, he's a former Marine, and like Harper said, Corny points out that all he did was play tennis. Country club kid. So, Harper, anything else from it?
I love how he puts the cherry on top at Dennis's. What you say? I know that you can beat me. I'm not convinced that you're going to.
Yeah,
he just needs 5 minutes with Boss Man.
Yeah,
remember that too. Just remember that, because something happens there. I won't tell you which way it goes. They're
you
setting
get
this up.
Boys a Klan too. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was good.
You gotta throw Klan in there.
This is Klan in the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
If you're watching along with us, this is a perfect setup to what's coming over the next few weeks. So I encourage you to really, really key in on this long promo, because it really does play out. Now, next up, we got Chris Candido versus Juicy Johnny. Juicy Johnny. During the match, Bob Cottle mentions how violent the upcoming matches are that we're going to be seeing at these upcoming big shows with the K-Town Showdown and Fire on the Mountain 93. Cottle says, due to the violence, these will not be televised at all on TV. Let me tell you something. That was code word for buy a fucking ticket if you want to see it. Come out and see it live. Candido does win this match with a suicide plex off the top. Juicy Johnny also gets some sour milk from the baby bottle at the end. Horner saves Juicy Johnny, though, and before we go to commercial, Candido and Horner are mixing it up with Candido hitting a big dive from the ring to the outside. Harper, do you have any thoughts on this match or any of the commentary there?
When fucking with Dutch says, I don't know, Johnny's sucking on that bottle real good. Yeah, it's like, God.
Spare me the details, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Doc, your thoughts?
Crowd was dead.
The end of a four-taping deal.
You don't know where this occurred during the night, though.
I can tell you if you'd like me to look.
I don't care. I don't know. This didn't do much for me. I don't know.
Yeah, this was, let me say this. This was, God. So this was the the third taping. This was match number 14 of the night by this point.
Oh, God. That's a long goddamn night.
That's a long fucking night, dude. So they were tired. Now, remember, last week they were popping nonstop, too, at the promos that were being cut, so. And then it's Candido and Juicy Johnny. They don't know who the fuck Juicy Johnny is. This is his first set of tapings. Not only has he got a crazy name and his name is in Urban Dictionary, but he looks like a fucking train wreck out there with his outfit.
What was it?
What was it, Juicy Johnny?
Yeah.
Do we really need to go through this again? Do we really need to go through this again? I mean, we can, but when a girl takes a shit on a guy while he pisses in her mouth, this is Juicy Johnny.
All right.
Yeah.
Who fuck does that, man? Come on.
Chuck Berry, allegedly.
Oh.
That's for real, though, bro.
And Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor.
Right.
Who a shit on a guy while he pisses in her mouth? Like, what? You're a sick fuck to do that. Okay, we'll keep moving. So, nothing new here. Look, the ending with Horner and Candido, that's just leading into what's going on at K-Town Showdown and Fire in the Mountain coming up. So, they show a replay of Smothers in the parking lot brawl, the car lot brawl. I don't know about you, Doc. You hate replays, but I got to admit, this was, I didn't mind this because it was so good. Thoughts?
F.
Fast forward?
F. Okay. F.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay. So be it. And then we got Tracy Smothers after they show the replay of the brawl in the car lot. Here's Tracy.
All right, fans, with us right now, here's the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. And Tracy, we've been talking to Tammy Fitch, the primetime Brian Lee, about the coal miners' glove match. And I tell you, he is awfully, awfully confident.
Yeah, he is, Bob. You know something? I sit back there and I listen to that Tammy Fitch talk about that I'm jealous of Brian,
oh, yeah,
and that I'm in love with her.
Yeah, you want her, she said.
Let me tell you something, you little no-good tramp. I turn down better-looking girls than you. You came here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and you suing Smoky Mountain for sexual harassment or something to that matter. Well, I'm the one's been harassed, so you can't get to manage me, so you manage my student, a guy I helped get started, primetime prima donna Brian Lee. And you want to talk about that. You say that I'm jealous of Brian. You say I'm jealous of you. You say I'm in love with you. Lady, let me tell you something. You've got the worst breath of any human I've ever seen, and you doggone sure need some deodorant. Now, prime time. Coal miner's glove match, man. It's coming down. The time for talking is over. I got everything to lose. I got everything to gain and nothing to lose, man.
Yes.
And by the good grace of God and the support of the fans and just a little bit of lady luck, I'm going to be the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion for a third time. So the story goes like this, and it goes back to Country Boy Can't Survive. I'm a Southern-born, Southern-bred thoroughbred, and I'm going to take that glove, coal miner's glove, and I'm going to knock you into the next area code. I'll see you, prima donna.
All right, man. We'll be back.
A little bit of catchphrases there, but Harper, what'd you think from that?
Got some catch. Yeah, it was the catchphrase. It's the prima donna. But when he says, "I've turned down better women than you," I'm like, "No way, bro.
Mm-mm.
Hell no. You're lying, Tracy.
You're lying." You know what I was waiting for there? When he first started that line with "I've turned down," I was waiting for him to say, "I've turned down better looking pussy than you." I don't know, dude. It's one of those old sayings that you hear back in the day. I knew it wasn't coming, but that was immediately what came to mind. Doc, your thoughts on the promo?
Well, if you're around, there's no way it's coming.
Fucking stupid joke.
It was all right.
It was very lame. It didn't even make Harper laugh.
Sorry, I meant the Smothers promo. I'm talking about the show.
Oh, okay. Are you going to comment on the promo? Just it's all right, that's it?
It was all right. Okay, it wasn't his best. There were some catchphrases sneaking back in.
Well, it goes to the point you're trying to say right now. They're squeezing that sponge.
Yep.
Let me show you how much you're squeezing that sponge. The next promo up is Brian Armstrong. Yes, Brian Armstrong, Road Dog. Here it is.
All right, fans, and with us right now, here's the youngest member of the Armstrong Army. And we're glad to say that he's making his debut right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Brian Armstrong. Brian, welcome.
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor to meet you, Mr. Coughlin. It's definitely an honor to be here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You know, I just got out of the Marine Corps. I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps defending my country. I did go to Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I was involved in that. I lived in a sand hole for 90 days of my life, Mr. Coughlin. So I've seen hard times. This is definitely a tough business that I'm stepping into, but I'm stepping into it, you know, and going to give it my all 100%. And I think about Jim Cornette, and he is an American, and I fought for America. But I don't look at it like that. I risked my life for all these good people like this. I didn't risk my life for the kinds of Jim Cornette and his mama. So I'm just here to give it 110% and to support my family in any way that I can.
Well, and I tell you, and I know your family, and I know your dad and your brothers are glad to have you, because with you backing them up and supporting them again, Brian, that's going to mean a great deal to them, because they got a tough road to hoe here with all of the rough. You're talking about Cornette and his criminals, as your dad called them.
Yes, sir. He sure does. Cornette criminals.
Wait a minute. Here comes Jim Cornette right now.
I got a little message for you, Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Marine. Opie says, hey. Let me ask you a question, Gomer. Did you come out here to talk about your service record, or did you come out here to talk about professional wrestling? I lived in a sand hole. I bet from the place you probably grew up in, a sand hole was preferable. There was probably less dust there. You know something else? I heard you had 3 confirmed kills while you were over in Desert Storm. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Cornette. I do have 3 confirmed kills.
It was probably all from your stinking breath, just like the rest of the Armstrong family. Let me ask you a question. You come out here to talk about wrestling. You going to wrestle Robbie Eagle or Juicy Johnny? Or are you going to wrestle one of the big boys, huh? You want to get your feet wet, Gomer? Will you get in that ring and you take my man Killer Kyle on, and we'll see what you're made out of, the right stuff or the wrong stuff, Mr. Marine? What do you say?
What about it, Brian?
Well, Mr. Cottle, I apologize for his intrusion, but my daddy taught me never to back down from a challenge. So I'm going to go to the ring right now, and I'm going to wrestle this man, and we'll just see if I do have the right stuff.
All right.
Gomer! Gomer! Go ahead, Kyle. Take him apart. Gomer! Gomer!
Let's everybody play for a second.
For him.
Hey, Dutch, what about that?
Well,
huh?
Go ahead. No, never mind. Doc, your thoughts on the promo there as they're getting ready to go to the ring.
Let me break it down for Road Dogg. Nah, pal, you risk your life for all of us, not just the people you choose to go over there and risk your life for. And what you really did, if you want to see through the work, is you went over there and risked your life to protect all that oil.
Well, damn.
It was a free Kuwait.
Right.
I don't want to break down on the military here, Doc. I want to break down on how well he did in a promo.
Road Dogg's a way taller dude than I ever thought.
Yeah, I know, huh?
You knew he was tall?
No, not really.
Yeah, I always... Oh, okay.
He looked about 3 or 4 inches taller than I would have guessed.
Okay. What do you think, though? If that's indeed his first promo, or first TV promo, what do you think? Which I don't think it is, but thoughts?
He goes a long way in about 3 or 4 years.
But
he wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad right there.
He wasn't bad, but you got to remember, dude, he was singing on the way to the ring for Jeff Jarrett and like...
Yeah.
As the roadie, and then Road Dogg used to pop me every damn week on Raw. I mean, that's a long way to go in just a few short years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not bad what he did, but man, he's like, you talk about Sonny, it's like just a straight up vertical progression.
Yeah. Harper, your thoughts?
He had 3 confirmed kills.
Yeah, according to Cornette, he did it with his breath.
Come on.
Jesus Christ. Anything else, Hopper?
No, it's just like Doc said, I didn't realize he was that tall, man.
See?
Shit, I did.
I didn't.
Yeah, I knew it. So we go to the match. The match gets started, and Cornette is funny on commentary. Cornette and Dr. Tom actually on commentary making fun of Brian Armstrong and his military service. Kyle had an impressive overhead press of Armstrong in the match. And then out of nowhere, Brian Armstrong gets an unexpected win on Kyle, and then the shit hits the fan. Heavenly Bodies, Bruise Brothers, Armstrong, everyone hits the ring. We're out of time. You know, everybody's brawling. Go ahead to the matches. You know, Fire in the Mountain is tonight. They did that at the end, pretty much about as good as you can do it, and that was the end of the show. So thoughts on the match, Doc, and everything that went down. I mean, it didn't go on long. It was just a couple minutes.
I couldn't believe Kyle had to eat a pin.
I don't know.
I guess if anyone for that group is going to take one, it's going to be him.
Right.
And here's the other thing. He's not even built as a monster, kind of just muscle. But let's be honest. What has Kyle won up until this point?
Nothing.
He's blasted a few people with some chairs and taken some chairs, but he hasn't really won anything of importance. He's been in a feud with Dixie Dynamite. I mean, so it's not like you were burying him. No, I ain't saying he sucks, but and we haven't even seen him probably in a month.
Yeah, I know. I forgot about him till I saw him.
We ain't seen him in a month. He's been doing whatever. Okay. So that actually wraps up. There's actually a local promo, but I didn't have anything from it. Did you, Doc?
Corny was just still talking about the stuff that's going on and that he's been involved in, but no.
Yeah. All right, we need to do some disability checks. I want to remind everyone, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That way we can do the Broads of BT show, bonus show that we're planning on doing with them, and hopefully Doc and I won't have to eat a pin when it comes to that. So, again, we need more 5-star reviews. We're at 160 reviews right now, 156 5-stars. A couple of douchebags out there gave us 1 and 2 stars. Fuck them. But we could use some more 5-stars, so give that to us while we're at it. Now, let's do some disability checks. Doc, I'll go first. I thought this was a 7, and go back to the comment that Doc made. God, I hate to toot his horn for him, but I'll do it.
Toot.
You know, he said, we take the sponge and we're just squeezing what we can out of it. And after 3 tapings and 16 matches in this venue, that's exactly what we're doing. So with that said, I'm going to give this one a 7. And it's not that I thought it was bad, because I really liked Corny there, but I got to give it a 7 just based on the fact that nothing new happened. We're heading towards Fire on the Mountain in the K-Town Showdown. And we're where we need to be, and you're not really going to have nothing explosive happen at this stage. Doc, what did you give it?
For all those reasons and more, I gave it a 6.9.
Okay. Harper, what are you giving it?
I get a 7.5 just to be nice.
God.
Man, yeah. You're being generous, bro.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
So if you're fat, if you're a fat ugly broad out there that wants to get laid by BTT, Harper's the one that'll throw you the bone. Jesus.
Come on. Come on, you bunch of hogs. Oh.
Harper's standards are a little bit lower.
Bunch of fat hogs.
Oh boy. All right. So we got to do the what the hell we got to do? Government cheese. I want to remind everyone, please consider becoming a patron. Doc is mad at me right now because I've been doing some world-class shows without him, and he's a little pissed with me these days. So there's a ton of world-class shows out there these days that I've done. So go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. You can get access to the patron-only content, the possibility of coming on the show, cutting a promo, maybe winning a T-shirt, depending on which tier of the patron thing you choose. They start as little as $2 a month. Look, man, $2 a month. $2! That's 50 cents a week. Consider becoming
What's
a patron.
What's that a day?
50 cents a week is how much a day, Doc? 7 cents?
What?
Never mind. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Get access to all the extra content that is done behind the paywall, as Doc likes to always say. And then don't forget to use the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. You can use that anytime, anywhere you want to shop on Amazon. It's a great way to support us because you're not spending anything extra that you're not already spending using Amazon, and we get a little bit of small kickback in return. Give it to your wives, girlfriends, anybody who uses Amazon. Bookmark it, please. That way, each time you go to it, you're already there. tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Now, we will move on with the show, and we got the Government Cheese Award. I went first with disability check, so Doc, you go first on the Government Cheese.
I just don't see a way that we walk out of here without all three of us giving it to Corny.
I was going to give it to Sonny and Brian Lee.
Oh.
For that promo.
That was good.
Yeah.
Corny went into it, dude. He went on and on and on about it. He cut I mean, he's talking them in.
I can see why Harper went Tammy and Brian, but I gotta.
If I didn't know better, I'd say Rick Rubin's threatening to cut funding, and Corny went out there and tried to talk him back into it, dude.
Yeah, buddy. So I got to go Corny too. So I'm going Corny. Doc's going Corny, and Harper's going Tammy and Brian on that. Mm-hmm. Tammy and Brian were good. It wasn't bad. I guess the part that popped you the most was when they started making fun of the fat bras and
they got
Brian Lee.
Fat hogs.
And he's, what was he doing, Harper, when he said it?
He's like doing a whole, like, he's got his arms out like they're fat, like a bunch of fat hogs.
Wobbling down the street and shit.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, make sure you go check out the Pro Wrestling Tee store. Check the link in the show description. Go to the Tee Public store as well. Go buy some Docaholics t-shirts, some BTT t-shirts. All of the links are there. The Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Twitter page at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Harper is at CJHWhoDat, so make sure you check it out. And the last thing I want to do before I get out of here, check out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with the Kingpin Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett, doing their things every single Monday. Just search the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Malonis is on ROH TV these days, so he's doing some good things. I'm glad to see him finally have some success after all these years on the independents. Again, they do their shows on Mondays. Northern sports entertainment flair, but it's got a classic flair to it as well. Doc, anything else before we get out of here?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm tuckered out, too. You got to go check on the car, right?
No.
Okay. Harper, what you got before we leave?
Fuck. I got a lot of shit to do, bro.
Work, huh?
Yeah. I can't do it next week because of fucking Mardi Gras, so.
Hit the tagline, Harper. Get us home.
Book it, bitch.